Well, as has been mentioned, we're here today on the day of Pentecost, the Feast of First Fruits. And undoubtedly, over the years, we've turned to Leviticus 23 and read each of the passages there as they relate to the various Sabbaths and holy days. If you want to start by turning there, because we'll be reading a little bit in a moment, but in Precy, in verse 3, we have the details of the weekly Sabbath, and then from verse 5, we have the annual Sabbaths. Passover and unleavened bread in verses 5 to 8, Pentecost in verses 10 to 21, the Feast of Trumpets in verses 24 and 25, the Day of Atonement in verses 27 to 32, and finally the Feast of Tabernacles in verses 34 to 43. But sandwiched in between the section on the Day of Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets, there is a verse which at first glance appears to be out of place. In this modern age of computers, you could well assume it was a drag-and-drop error. But as we'll go on and see, it is anything but. Following details of the wave sheaf and the various offerings that were required in verses 10 to 14, how to count 50 days to get to the right day in verses 15 and 16, and then further offerings in verses 17 to 20, verse 21 of Leviticus 23 reads, "And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." So here we are today keeping that holy convocation. But then we have verse 22. "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field where thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleanings of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Eternal your God." And then it carries on with the details of the remaining holy days. Why is this section included here? What can we learn from it? And how does it relate to the offering that we'll be taking up shortly? First, let's explore a bit more about the topic of gleaning. Back a page or two, we have a similar verse in chapter 19, but this time it goes on to reveal that it forms a fundamental part of God's way of life. In Leviticus 19 and verse 9, "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard, thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Eternal your God. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall they profane the name of thy God. I am the Eternal. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbour, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning." God makes it very clear in this passage just how important the principle of gleaning is, including it here in the same context as not lying, stealing or defrauding, and even not blaspheming God's name. Turn, if you would, now to Deuteronomy 24, and we'll see some additional requirements with regards to gleaning. In Deuteronomy 24, verses 19 to 21, "When thou cuttest down thy harvest in the field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Eternal thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of the vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It will be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow." The primary physical reason for gleaning was to provide a way for the poor and needy to be able to get by. Essentially, it was the original welfare system. When we first moved to the cottage, I was signed off work with ill health and was entitled to receive incapacity benefit, as it was known back then, a small amount of money each week from which we were supposed to live. The madness of the system became all too apparent when I went in for a review to see if I was entitled to an increase, and was told that whilst they could not provide us with any further help with food or clothing, they could provide us with a crisis loan, as our daughter was classified as a deprived child. Why? Because we didn't have a TV. They wouldn't provide us with money to eat, but they would provide us with a loan, interest-free, so we could buy a TV. Needless to say, we didn't take them up on the offer. God's version of a welfare support system supported those that were needy with what they required the most, food. But it very much favours those that are prepared to put some hard work in. It's interesting to note that when God provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness, they had to go out and pick it up from the fields each day. They didn't go to the local charity shelter or manna kitchen to collect their basket a day. They had to go out each day and early each day as well to collect enough food for that day. On top of that, they had to work twice as hard on the preparation day so that they had enough for the Sabbath. If they overslept or thought that they would just have a day off, they didn't eat. In the same way, gleaning required a significant amount of effort to go out and collect sufficient food to live off. Some things to note, however, about gleaning. The fruit that grew in the corners was not the finest. In most cases, it had to fight its way through weeds and other plants that may surround the field. It might not have been as well watered as the fruit in the middle of the field. And then, of course, there are the birds and other wildlife that tend to pick off the fruit around the edges. As the fruit was harvested, those harvesting would not pick some of the fruit if it wasn't ripe yet or didn't look so good. So these too could be gleaned. But as we read in Deuteronomy 24, if a farmer were to cut a sheaf and forget to collect it, then it had to leave it so it could be gleaned. This would have provided a bit of an incentive to those gleaning that if they were thorough and persevered, they might also find some of the finest fruit. Up until the late 18th century, gleaning was considered a legal right here in England, where church bells were rung at 8 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening, in most villages, to indicate when the gleaners were allowed to work. However, conflicts between farmers and gleaners escalated, culminating in the landmark court case between Lord Steele, a wealthy landowner, and a gleaner named Mary Horton in 1788. In the end, the presiding judge, Lord Loughborough, ruled in favour of the landlord, rejecting the defence's claims that gleaning was by right of the Mosaic law and, interestingly, Saxon tradition, which, as we know, means Isaac's sons, and therefore would have had their traditions founded on that same Mosaic law. The judge declared that the defence was inconsistent with the nature of property, which imports absolute enjoyment, and therefore people gleaning would constitute trespass. And then with modern farming methods, where there would no longer be a harvest to glean from the corners, because fields are no longer planted to the corners, to allow room for tractors and other equipment and machinery to turn around. So another important element of God's way has been lost from our age, along with all physical benefits and the spiritual analogies that go with it. And as if that wasn't enough, another piece of our heritage, part of our nation's real identity, was lost. Just put in your notes Ezekiel 22 and verse 29, where we read, "The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully." The poor of this nation have surely been oppressed by removing their God-given right to glean. So how does all this tie up with the offering? Well, if you keep that finger in Deuteronomy 24 and turn back a few pages to chapter 16, we'll read the well-known passage where we are commanded to take up an offering. In Deuteronomy 16 and starting in verse 16, it says, "Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal thy God in the place where he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks," today, "and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal thy God, which he hath given thee." Our offerings are intended to be a conduit for a portion of the blessings that God has given us to be shared. If you still have that finger in chapter 24, we'll see why God gave the Israelites the laws regarding gleaning in the first place. In verse 22, And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. God didn't want the Israelites to forget that they were in bondage and that he had rescued them. He gave them everything they needed. Mr. Armstrong used to sum up the way of God as the way of give, and the main principle of both gleaning and offerings is giving. God gives us material blessings, and he commands us to pass some of those blessings back on so they can be used to physically help others and to satisfy the physical needs of the church. When we think about gleaning, we usually think about a way of feeding the poor and needy, which of course it is. But gleaning isn't just about getting a free meal. It's about giving. Just as the amount that we decide to give in our offerings is up to us to decide, according to the blessings that God has given us, so too the exact amount of the land that the landowner was required to make available for gleaning was not specified. There are several specifics, as we've just read earlier. For example, you couldn't beat the olive tree more than once, and any that remained had to stay on the tree. Likewise with the grapes. There is even the requirement that if you were to harvest and bind a sheaf but forget to bring it in, you had to leave it. But when it comes to not harvesting in the corners, there is no specific distance from the corners mentioned. It is up to the giver, the owner of the land, to decide. The decision was also up to the owner just how thorough he would harvest, how much he would leave on the vines, the trees, or in his fields. If God had blessed him with an exceptional harvest, he could leave more to share with those less fortunate. We're all familiar with the story of Ruth gleaning in Boaz's fields, but there are a few specific verses that highlight some of these points. Turn, if you would, now quickly to Ruth 2, and we'll just read a few verses, starting in verse 11. In verse 11, we read how Boaz recognized the effort that Ruth was putting into gleaning, not just for herself, but also to look after her mother-in-law. In Ruth 2 and verse 11, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shown to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Eternal recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Eternal God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And then if we drop down a few verses to verse 15, we read how he exercised his right to loosen the terms with which Ruth could glean. In verse 15, "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even amongst the sheaves, and reproach her not." Normally, the gleaners followed those harvesting, once all the sheaves had been collected. Then in the next verse, he chooses to give a little extra. In verse 16, "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." We don't all have the ability to put into place the principles of gleaning in a physical context, and if we could, in this world, it would undoubtedly be abused. But we do all have the opportunity to practice the giving mindset behind gleaning when we give our offerings. Very soon we will be teaching God's way, including the laws regarding gleaning and offerings. But the focus is on the giving attitude, the mindset that wants to share the blessings that God has blessed us with. So whilst we will be taking up the offering today, we will be hearing some special music, which is taken from Psalm 119. "Your word remains a lamp unto my feet," which will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson and accompanied on the piano by Miss Beth.